The Sunday after Easter, the second Sunday of Easter, is often called Associate Sunday. Have you ever heard that? After the big high of Easter and all of the to-do and the filled pews, often the second Sunday of Easter seems like a good day for some parishioners to take a break. It's often low. Sometimes it's called Low Sunday. There's lots of names for this Sunday. But in any case, it's often the time when the pastor has gone and is on vacation, and so the associate gets to step in and have her moment. And thus far in my career, I have been the associate always and have always been picked to preach this spot. But whenever you're a co-pastor without any associates, you just like flip a coin. So here we are. But I really love these passages. And I'm sad that most pastors who have associates don't get to preach them, because the story doesn't stop at the empty tomb. It doesn't stop in the garden with Mary seeing the risen Jesus. It doesn't even stop here with the disciples in the upper room. The story goes on for 50 days. There are 50 days of the disciples waiting and wondering, not knowing quite what to do next. There's some fear, but also joy and excitement and confusion and all happening until Acts tells us that they receive the Holy Spirit and then they begin to preach. So there's this whole gap in time before they do anything with the joy of Easter. And this whole season of Easter leads us out of Holy Week, kind of as a mirror to Lent. You know how we waited for 6 weeks in Lent leading up to Easter, preparing ourselves, getting ready, and then this season flows out, kind of like, you know, grace upon grace and that abundance that we've been talking about in the Gospel of John all along. It kind of overflows into these other stories about where people see Jesus. So from now until Pentecost, which is May 20th, we will be hearing stories from the Bible of what happened after Easter, the places where people saw Jesus afterward, working out that experience. And so we have in our passage today, if you noticed, it's still Easter. Not only is it that same Easter spirit, it is still the first day of the week. And the disciples have locked themselves in the house where they'd been staying, in the room, and they're terrified and waiting. And it's still that first Easter day. So if we can put ourselves back in that mindset, and then next week we'll see what happens a week later. All right, so with that set up, let's pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, we all like a good comeback story, right? Like the Cubs, yeah? World Series 2016. And they make it to Game 7. It's the first time in how long? 108 years. I know, I shouldn't be telling this story to you. You should be telling it to me. But they make it to the ninth inning, and they've blown their lead, right? Is that what happens? They've blown their lead, and then the rain delay. They've lost all the momentum. What's going to happen? They all go into the weight room, and Hayward, right, gives them some kind of speech, and then they come back out re-energized and win the game. And, I mean, that's a good story, right, that you all like to hear. And we have other stories like that, like the 1980 men's U.S. Olympic hockey team, the Miracle on Ice. And their coach, the odds are all against them. They're the good guys, but the underdogs. But the coach gives them this speech. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. This is your time. Now go out there and take it. Right? Another hockey one, right? I'm Chicago, okay. But this story transcends genre. story of the comeback, like Toy Story, right? Do you remember the scene where the toys are in Sid's house? And there are all these toys that are kind of like the misfits, and they're broken down, and they're sad, and they're used to just hiding. As soon as anyone comes into the room, they hide. But Woody comes, and he says to the toys, you know what, we can do this. And he gives them a speech, and he gathers them all together, and they come up with a plan, and they fight back. Remember when they scare Sid? And they terrify him like he's been terrifying them. Or The Lion King is a whole revenge story about Simba finally coming back and fighting his Uncle Scar and winning back the throne. Or, you know, Hamlet for that matter, kind of a comeback story. Or Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Do you remember right there at the end? Spoiler alert, so if you're not to Deathly Hallows yet, this is your chance to cover your ears. You remember Lord Voldemort comes up to Hogwarts and he's saying, Harry Potter is dead. Do you remember this scene? And then Neville Longbottom stands up and he says, yeah, we lost Harry tonight, but he's still with us in here. So is Fred, Remus, and Tonks. Is anyone else tearing up? This is it. All of them. They didn't die in vain, but you will, he says to Voldemort and the Death Eaters, because you're wrong. Harry's heart did beat for us, for all of us. It's not over. It's not over. And then Harry comes back, and they win the whole battle, right? They come back, this is the Princess Bride with Inigo Montoya. You know, you killed my father, and then he gets stabbed, and you're like, oh, no, it's all over. But it's not over. He comes back, he keeps repeating his phrase, his little pep speech, and gets the six-fingered man. Or it's the whole of The Count of Monte Cristo, right? It's like that novel's like 1,500 pages, and it's all about revenge. A revenge plot can keep us going for a long time, right? 50 days or longer, we could keep going. Or this one, and I will just take an aside to say, all of the dads of young kids who were at the Progressive dinner last night and told me I should definitely not leave Animal House out of this sermon aren't here this morning to think I'm funny, so I hope that you all appreciate it. I was like, well, I can't use Animal House, and they were the ones who told me to use The Miracle on Ice. I know, and then they were like, no, you have to use Animal House. We will laugh so hard, and then everyone else will laugh, and they're not even here. So, but... Animal House is really the best example, right? Do you remember when they're all sad? They're back in that. They've just found out Dean Wormer has expelled them all. They're all expelled. And Otter just got beaten up, right? And Boone just lost his girlfriend. And they're all back at the Delta House, like, just sad. And do you know what I'm talking? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. And then Bluto stands up. And he says, what, over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? And they say, Germans. And then he's like, let him keep going. He's on a roll. And he says, it ain't over now, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on. Oh, and then even he accelerates to saying, we're not going to take this. Wormer, he's a dead man. Marmalard, he's a dead man. Niedermeyer, he's dead. You know, you remember that whole part? And then they're all energized, and they're like, yeah! And then they go and get the best revenge that they can at the homecoming parade. And their revenge is so sweet. And this is what we expect, right? We expect when we're in a similar situation, when we're down and out, the odds are against us. When we find ourselves in a story where the good guys seem beaten, we expect that somebody is going to come in, give them that great inspirational speech, that they will rise up, they will fight. It's not over yet. They're going to take back the throne. They're going to defeat those Omegas, whatever it is. And we're in a similar place in our story today. The good guys are down. Jesus, their leader, has been executed by the state. The authorities are looking for them. And then he comes back. And they're in that room. And I picture the Delta House. and blue toes standing up. And I think maybe they expect, I know that I expect, for Jesus to come in and say, "It's not over. What, you think it's over? No, it's just starting. We're going to go get them. Here's our plan. Here's our plot. Here's how we're going to defeat them." But he doesn't say that. He shows up, stands up, and says, "Peace. Peace." He breathes on them, the Holy Spirit, and he says, "If you forgive, then they'll be forgiven." Makes me think of every time I need to stop and take a deep breath, which happens more in my real life than inspirational speeches that motivate me to go and win the day. It's usually when I'm in that spot, I stop and take a deep breath. We've been doing this with our kids. We recently got Hulu, and Hulu has a show for kids called Stop, Think, and Breathe. Have you seen this? I totally recommend it. I feel like we're in that crisis moment within our family where we're like, "Ah, oh, the good guys are down. There's another fit. What do we do now?" We put in Stop, Think, and Breathe, and it's all these just breathing exercises of how to, take a deep breath, count to four, breathe out again. And then for me, that upper room for the disciples is no longer the Delta house trying to gear up for their revenge. It's a deep breath with Jesus. And this is their Pentecost story. If you don't know the Pentecost story, hang in there. We'll get there at the end of our Easter season. But for John, this is when the Holy Spirit comes. Not as something that's like highly anticipated at the end, but of something they need. That peace. And the beginning of that, of the life together as that of that community, its foundation is forgiveness. What this new life with a risen Jesus is going to be about is not the good guys having a military victory. It's not even going to be about, vanquishing the Romans or those corrupt Jewish authorities that they have at this time. It's not going to be about any of that. It's going to be about forgiveness. So we find ourselves back here in our Easter story for today. Not gearing up for a victory, but taking a deep breath and forgiving. What is the piece that you need to hear today? Where is the place in your life where you can either get a motivational speech and go back and win, or take a deep breath and forgive? And today, let's hear that peace from Jesus and breathe deeply, because it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Let's pray. Holy God, come and be with us now. Breathe your peace over us and show us a new way. In the name of God, the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, amen.